Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us now. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Big, big thanks to my last guest from the American Foreign Policy Council, Ilan Berman. If you want to check out some of Mr. Berman's work, especially on Iran, make yourself a little bit more knowledgeable about the area, how we got to this moment, you can check all that out at afpc.org. We have breaking news this hour. The Federal Reserve, led by Jerome Powell, is keeping interest rates right where they are, much to the chagrin of Donald Trump. More on that in a moment. In addition, Mr. Powell saying the following: the Fed is now predicting a brutal mix for 2025, inflation up to 3%, growth down to 1.4%, unemployment up significantly to 4.5%, and again, holding rates steady for now. However, hat tipping to two potential cuts later this year. We've got just the guy to help us make sense of it all. His name is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Visiting Fellow at Georgetown, a former House Ways and Means professional staffer, an expert on economic inequality, and currently with the Center for Law and Social Policy. Thanks so much for joining us again, Indy. It's a pleasure to have you.
I'm happy to be back, Maggie.
Let's take a listen to a bit of Donald Trump this morning on the White House Rose Garden lawn talking about Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
A stupid person, frankly, at the Fed. He probably won't cut today. Europe had 10 cuts and we had none. We're going to lose because of this too late. I call him too late Powell because he's always too late. I mean, if you look at him, every time I did this, I was right 100%. He was wrong. Maybe I should go to the Fed. Am I allowed to appoint myself, Doug? I don't know. Am I allowed to appoint myself at the Fed? I do a much better job than these people. So anyway, we should be 2 points lower. It'd be nice to be 2.5 points lower. And by the way, if he's worried about inflation, that's okay. I understand that. I don't think there's going to be any. So far, there hasn't. But now we have a man that just refuses to lower the Fed rate. Just refuses to do it. And he's not a smart person. I don't even think he's that political. I think he hates me, but that's okay. You know, he should.
And so on and so forth. First and foremost, what impacts the Fed's decisions about interest rates? To be specific, why would the Fed keep interest rates steady right now?
The Federal Reserve, Maggie, has a dual mandate. They're trying to balance the prices overall in the economy, the price levels and the growth over time or inflation, with the unemployment rate, as the two sometimes can push against each other, especially in extreme situations. So the Federal Reserve, in a normal situation where we were seeing some proper economic management, may have felt quite comfortable with some sort of interest rate cut today, but we're facing some significant headwinds for the U.S. economy in light of not just the Trump administration, but also the Republican-led Congress. So you can see where the Federal Reserve is worried about tariffs, which are raising prices for folks, unless the president was just admitting that they don't need to worry about it because he's going to chicken out and not do them, which maybe is the right policy, actually. But and you can see it with the tax giveaways for millionaires, billionaires, and their children, their heirs, and even as the congressional Republicans are looking to gut Medicaid, health coverage in other ways, food assistance, and other things that would just raise prices for folks and make it harder for them to afford a basic living standard.
This combination of tariffs, which are taxes largely paid by the middle class, because the middle class is the consumer class, billionaires sit on their money, they don't spend their money, it just doesn't work like that. This combination, this 1-2 punch of tariffs, tariff chaos, which makes it hard, especially for small business owners who employ upwards of 68 million people. The combination of that plus the big brutal bill and gutting things like Medicaid. Reports have been that the Senate markup coming out of the Finance Committee seeks even deeper Medicaid cuts than the $880 billion being proposed by the House GOP, MAGA folks on the House side. When 71 million Americans get their health care coverage through Medicaid, and the number one reasons that American families enter bankruptcy and file bankruptcy is what? Ding, 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 ding. Medical debt, everybody. This is what Jerome Powell has to address. And I won't get into Howard Lutnick's qualifications or lack thereof to be Commerce Secretary, but a steady hand from an executive branch administration is part of what would help the Fed chair feel comfortable enough to reduce rates. Is that a simplified way of saying what you've been saying? But again, policy decisions that will hurt the consumer middle class, coupled with an explosion in the deficit, the likes of which we quite haven't gotten our minds around, the CBO estimates change, again, plus the terror tariff taxes, the Fed wants to see some sort of cognizable, reasonable economic policy. We simply haven't gotten that, have we? Is it a bit about that?
Yeah, there's a serious lack of economic policy coherence. Mm-hmm. And that does leave the Federal Reserve Bank and the Board of Governors in a nearly impossible spot. Look, on the one hand, you've got these obvious inflationary pressures to raise prices between the import taxes on American consumers, lavish tax cuts, and at the same time, the supply chain uncertainty, above and beyond normal tariffs, is going to create a lot of cost pressures. So companies are going to have to raise the prices of goods and services. And on the other hand, you might think, well, actually, not only this bill, but overall, the Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. We're gutting investment in science, higher education, research, and development. We are reducing our population through really ill-advised, to say the least, and inhumane immigration policies. And in fact, the programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers in the current administration and in Congress that might lead to interest rate cuts. But how can the Fed justify it at this moment with so much uncertainty around the import taxes on American consumers and the tax cuts, which are, by the way, going to drive up deficits dramatically and cause additional problems?
I wanted to pick up on something that you said there. One of the great competitive economic advantages in this country is the research infrastructure, is our institutions of higher learning. Just here in Wisconsin today, the MAGA elected officials in our state legislature have proposed devastating cuts to funding to what was once the crown jewel of Wisconsin, and that was our university systems. That loss of competitive advantage there, the loss of the labor force. There are 2 million undocumented workers in our nation's farmlands right now harvesting the food that Americans eat and export. And you subtract 1 million of those, you know, food prices go up, all else being equal. We add now into the mix, Indy, what's going on in the Mideast. And the fact that Iran, if it could massively disrupt oil shipping channels in the Persian Gulf, which would, of course, drive up oil prices. Would Jerome Powell been laughed at by every knowledgeable economist if he would have cut rates today? I mean, let's be honest about it. That was simply not an option given what's going on in the world.
Look, today's decision was a unanimous decision, as we understand it. There was no dissent for the moment in the vote to maintain interest rates at the level there are. So this isn't about President Trump thinking he's somehow more capable of being the chair of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors than Jerome Powell. He's saying he's more capable than the entire group of governors there. And I think I'm really glad that you brought up the challenge that we face on our dependence on fossil fuels and oil. We already are the world's largest producer of oil and produce more than we have essentially at any time in history. That was true under President Biden.
Yes.
And yet we are still dependent on foreign oil. And you might feel that we were at least moving in the right direction with the Inflation Reduction Act and even some of the other investments in Chips and Science Act in with semiconductors and also investments in our infrastructure and a bipartisan infrastructure law. And yet what we're seeing in the big brutal bill, as I think you aptly call it, is a repeal of the very incentives and subsidies to shift towards clean energy and break our dependence on fossil fuel and especially fuel from abroad. But it's a global market, right?
So correct.
there are some risks. We don't know how this is going to play out. And I always think we emphasize, of course, the humanity first of folks who are at war. But there are some really serious economic risks. It's hard to see when we're in a more uncertain period in recent years.
Last, and we've got about a minute left, Indy, as a preview of what I'm going to be focusing on in celebration and honor of Juneteenth tomorrow, I'm talking about Black women in the workplace. And I wondered, since you have focused so much of your scholarship and thinking on equity, economic equity issues, boy, when we hit economic pain points in our economy, Black women especially are the canaries in the coal mines. They are often the first fired, the last hired and the first fired. They often experience the pain points most acutely. Can you speak to the risks and the challenges for Black women, especially in a Donald Trump-led American economy?
Well, first of all, Maggie, I appreciate you drawing attention to this topic because I think so many people are so afraid to just acknowledge the realities in this country now. But we are only going to go stronger as we can address some of the inequities we face, whether by race or gender or other fronts. And I would say that you're right. Black women often face significantly higher unemployment rates. They're paid less for the same jobs and are often the sole breadwinners in their families. So anything we can do to improve their lives will be good for the rest of America.
Thanks so much. That is Indy Duttagupta, Doris Duke Distinguished Visiting Fellow at Georgetown with the Center for Law and Social Policy and an advisor to community change. Thanks, Indy. We're going to be talking about the landmark SCOTUS decision on trans rights when we come back.